Okay.
Okay, so can you give me just kind of first of all the 20,000 foot overview on the Glassford crater impact? I believe it was what 400 some odd million years ago.
Yeah, 455 million years ago, give or take. Basically, we've known there was a buried crater near Glassford since about the early 1960s, but my study is kind of the first one to revisit it since then. It was discovered during drilling, first for coal and then sighting of a gas storage field back in the late 50s, early 60s, and there was one paper on it, and then no one really did anything with it until now. And the initial paper was great, was very good for its time, but the study of meteor impact craters has advanced quite a bit since then. So my study was kind of about bringing it into the 21st century, basically. But the Glassford crater, it's about 2.5 miles wide. It's I think about 15 kilometers, 15 miles southwest of Peoria, if I remember correctly, near the small village of Glassford. So craters that size, you think of probably just a hole in the ground when you think of a meteor crater. But in fact, once a crater in a sedimentary target gets above about 2 miles wide, more or less, it actually has kind of an uplift in the middle, kind of a hill in the middle. Basically, when rocks get blown out of the crater, like get blown out of the crater by the impact, underlying rock rises up to fill that void. So that's what the thing actually looks like if you could see it. We can't see it. It's buried about 1,150 feet down. And when probably the meteor, to back up a minute, there. Like I said, there's been a lot of work done on impact craters in the past 50 years or so. And based on modeling, based on studies of existing other craters that are better exposed than this one, there are equations for trying to figure out how big the meteor probably was to correspond to a crater of a certain size. So the Glassford crater, based on that 2.5 mile diameter, the meteorite that formed that was probably about 200 meters in diameter. So that's roughly the diameter of Wrigley Field, give or take. And the part of one of the things that's been publicized as part of this recent study, we were able to attach a better age to the crater as part of this new work. And the reason we did that, at the time that the meteor hit, Illinois was actually largely or entirely covered by a shallow ocean. This was back in the Ordovician period, the later Ordovician period. So shallow seas covered a large part of Illinois. And our window into the Glassford crater, we have a little bit of geophysical data. Gravity surveys were done that indicated there was something interesting buried under the ground. And then during that coal exploration and the sighting of that gas storage field, a few wells were drilled into the crater, and rock core was brought up in some cases, as well as some geophysical log readings. And that's pretty much all the information we have about it. But fortunately, the cores were placed in the right location within the crater to help us say quite a bit. And one thing that we did find, we have the disturbed rocks, and then immediately overlying them are rocks that are obviously marine sediments. And within those marine sediments, we found fossils called graptolites. And graptolites are interesting because there's nothing like them today. They've been extinct for a long time, but back in the Ordovician period, they were very widespread. And they were a type of organism that evolved very quickly. They had fairly distinctive shapes. They're hard to describe, but they look kind of like, in some cases, almost kind of like ferns. They have almost sort of spindly shapes. They have different little spines and things sticking off of them, which take very distinctive patterns. So it's fairly easy for someone who knows what they're doing to identify what species of graptolite they're looking at. And based on lots of work around the world, people have managed to tie particular graptolite species to specific ages in Earth's history. So the graptolites that we found within the marine crater fill, immediately overlying the glassford structure within these cores that we looked at, indicate an age of about 455 million years, plus or minus 2 million years, for those sediments. And just based on the nature of the sediments, it looks like they were deposited immediately after the impact. So there's indications of large pieces of rock being carried back into the crater. Basically, when you have a meteorite impact in a shallow ocean, water is blown out and then it rushes back in shortly afterwards and carries things with it. And that has kind of a distinct sedimentary signature. So because the marine rocks were deposited immediately after the impact, that means the age of the graptolites gives us a pretty good idea of the age of the crater. And one interesting thing about that, 455 million years puts us in the middle of about a 30 million year period that's been remarked upon by specialists who study meteor craters. We have an idea of how many large impacts should occur within a given span of geological time, just based on how many craters we found, kind of the background rate of cratering. And there's a period from about 440 to 470 million years in the Ordovician where we have found far more large meteorite craters during that time span than you would expect based on kind of the normal cratering rate. Depending on who you ask, there's anywhere from, at least 10 and anywhere up to 20 potentially impacts that we know about within that 30 million year time span, which is easily an order of magnitude more than you would usually expect. And based on complex work done by other people, which I'm not really qualified to explain, we have a pretty good idea that this is tied to an event called the L. chondrite parent body breakup. And that's something that took place in the main asteroid belt between Mars and Jupiter about 466 million years ago. Basically, we had an extremely large asteroid, almost 100 miles wide, according to our current models. And something happened, probably something else collided with it, most likely, and it was broken up into probably millions of smaller pieces that sprayed out across the solar system. And we think that's why we have so many craters within that span of time, because over the next 30 million years or so after that impact, lots of those pieces found their way to Earth and formed large meteor craters. There's a recent study that just came out within the past few months where a team of people at a different institution suggested that, along with the large pieces, lots and lots of dust from this asteroid breakup also came to Earth. And they've suggested that that dust was plentiful enough to actually affect Earth's climate and induce an ice age. So that study just came out. I'm sure there will be subsequent studies on that subject. Other scientists will go in and try to examine their arguments and their evidence, and maybe they'll agree with it, maybe they won't. But if this new idea stands the test of time, that would indicate that not only is this Glassford meteor potentially tied to the Ordovician meteorite shower, but also it could be tied to an ice age that really kind of affected the course of evolution on Earth.
Okay, so that's a lot to take in.
Yeah, feel free to ask clarifying questions. That was the intention.
Absolutely. So I guess based off going back here to the beginning, there was one study in the 1960s right after this was first discovered, and you're really the first person to revisit the subject since then. So, I mean, does your study give us a better idea of the size of the meteor, what it actually, did as far as, hitting a shallow ocean and then the subsequent geological and perhaps biological effects of that? So you're really the first one to kind of highlight these aspects of it.
Yeah, basically what I did was just apply the 21st century understanding of meteor impact processes to the data we have from the Glassford structure. The people who studied it initially, it included some people from the Illinois State Geological Survey, and they did a great job with the data they had within the context of, 1960s planetary science. But they didn't even really know about, I talked about that unusual kind of shape, not just a crater, but actually a crater with a hill in the middle, a central uplift in the middle, that you have once the crater gets over a certain size. And they didn't know about that in the 1960s. Their model of meteor impacts at that time was still basically just a pit, filled with broken up rock. This was pretty early in the study of meteor craters back then. So that's one thing. We just have a better idea now of the morphology that you would expect of a meteor crater that size. And what we see within those well cores I mentioned confirms that. But yeah, estimates of how big the meteorite would have been, that's based on relatively new work. Placing it firmly within a marine context for the impact, that was kind of hinted at in the original paper, but we've documented that much more thoroughly now. And we found additional evidence that directly supports a meteorite impact. Nature does have more than one way to make a crater. So if you go to the planetary science community and you say, "Hey, we have a meteor crater here," they'll say, "Okay, that's great, but prove it." And there's a relatively small number of geologic phenomena that you can use to prove it. And we documented some of those in at the Glassford structure, much more thoroughly than they've been previously documented. So you could say that we're actually the first ones to completely prove that this was a meteor impact.
Okay. So one other thing then I guess I would wonder about would be, so this was one meteorite of perhaps many that struck the Earth after this impact in the asteroid belt 466 million years ago. I mean, so, and in addition to that, there's also speculated or studies suggest rather that there was dust that may have also spurred an ice age during this period. So, I mean, is it known? Is there even a rough guess of, I mean, how significant these meteor showers were? I mean, how many hit Earth? Was Earth just like bombarded during this time, so to speak? And I mean, how significant is the Glassford meteor strike in the midst of all of this? Or do we even have a rough idea of that?
We're still working on that. That's been a fairly big area of study in the past 10 years or so. I told you I couldn't give you an exact number for how many meteor craters date back to that 30 million year period, and that's because there's a lot of work being done and people keep on adding new craters that they think are probably related to that event. They go back and revisit older craters and kind of do a better, more thorough job of figuring out their age, and in some cases that's added them to that 30 million year period. And Glassford was kind of an ordinary one for that period. It wasn't particularly large, but there's the meteors that hit Earth during that period, most of them were not the really big ones. I think a lot of people, when they think about meteor impacts, they think about the one that hit at the end of the Cretaceous and, killed off the dinosaurs, the non-avian dinosaurs. And that one would have been much, much larger than any of the ones that probably hit during that Ordovician period meteor shower. But we call it a meteor shower, but it was spread out over 30 million years. So it's not like on any given day you're going to walk out and see huge rocks falling from the sky back in the Ordovician. But it was just a, relatively speaking, a greatly increased rate of impacts. And one thing I should clarify, when I say it's probably connected to the Ordovician meteor shower, that just means that right now our evidence for a connection is simply the age. If we really wanted to firmly prove that it was actually related to that event, that asteroid breakup in the main asteroid belt, we would have to basically find direct evidence of what kind of asteroid it was. We would have to prove that the asteroid, but the meteorite that hit, was something called an El Condrite, because this big thing that broke up in the asteroid belt was an El Condrite. That's why it's called the El Condrite parent body. So to simplify that just means that we would have to find mineralogical or geochemical evidence that says, yes, the thing that hit Glassford is definitely a piece of the big thing that broke up in the asteroid belt. And we haven't really looked for that evidence yet. Right now, it's kind of our argument for it being part of that meteor shower is basically just the ages fit. But based on what we know about background information rates, it's not terribly, the odds are pretty good that just that age does directly connect it, just because, like I said, there's a fairly low background rate of impacts, and they've already found meteor craters from that period that they can say, okay, this isn't part of that big meteor shower, so the odds that we'll find another one are probably relatively low. But long story short, we can't prove a connection right now, but we are actively looking for the evidence that would be required to prove that connection. We're looking for what are called chromite grains within the crater fill, which might be an indicator that, yes, this was part of the El Chondrite. So that's work in progress right now. All we can say for right now is there's a good chance it was connected based on the age.
Okay, and then one other thing. There's a couple pictures on the University of Illinois website of some of the area where it's believed the where the meteor fell, and then there's one of like a rock formation. Would it be okay if I use some of those pictures?
Yeah, I think so. I would have to look into that to confirm that. I'd have to. Are you talking about the one with the strange fold in the middle?
Yes.
Yeah. I would have to double check with people here to make sure that's okay, but I'd be very surprised if it wasn't.
Okay, got it. And then, actually, that was my last question. So thank you so much for your time. It's been fascinating.